Welcome, Eagles, to another episode of Tradcat Night Radio. I am Eric Ajewski, founder and owner of Tradcat Night, your one-stop website for all the day's latest church apostasy news and end-time news. Now, Tradcat Night is featured all over the alternative media circuit, and I'm doing my best to keep you up to date on all the latest happenings from around the world as we head closer to the fruition of the Third Secret of Fatima. My good friends, make sure you please subscribe to Tradcat Night right now on YouTube. Click the notification button. As I mentioned in the past few weeks, I'm going to try to get into other alternative outlets, if you will, such as DTube and Steemit. And also, we're going to be starting that live call-in show, which everyone's very excited about, in the middle of April. I'll update everyone on that as well. Now, folks, you can also find these podcast MP3s on SoundCloud.com, so you can go over there, sign up, search Tradcat Night, and get connected to the talks there. You can also find these podcasts on Veterans Today. You can find it on the sister site, tradcatnight.org. Again, we're dealing with censorship in our times, and I've got one strike against me on YouTube. We'll see how much longer I last there. So continue to keep me in prayer. You can find Tradcat Night across any social media outlet, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Google+. And if you have suggestion for a special guest to the program, I invite you all to send those suggestions to me via email. Now, today is March 15th. Goodness, time is really flying. And I've got a returning guest to the program, Michael Hickborn from the Lepanto Institute. And today we're going to be discussing some of the latest Vatican scandals and more corruption inside the Catholic Church. And most of you know Michael, but for those who don't, Michael is a well-known public figure in the pro-life movement. He's the founder and president of the Lepanto Institute. Michael spent 7.5 years as American Life League director of the Defend the Faith Project. In this capacity, Michael has researched and produced an annual report on organizations receiving grant money from the CCHD, and that's actually one of the areas we want to talk about today. He was offered some grant money from this particular group, and very interesting to hear what Michael has to say about that. Michael, really good to get you back on the show. I know we've got to work through some of your latest articles here. So much going on in the world before we even get started. I mean, goodness, we had the Vatican essentially thanking atheist Stephen Hawking in the past 48 hours, saying, "May the Lord welcome him home in glory." We've got, of course, the recent Vatican fake news scandal going on between Benedict and Francis. More attack on the family. I mean, it's just, you know, who knows where they're going to take things with contraception too, and celibacy. That seems to be on the 2019 synod list, if you will, of areas to cover. I know it looks kind of bleak from a traditionalist perspective, but we're going to get Michael's opinion on all of these topics and much more. Let's start with your latest article, if you will, Vatican hiring pro-homosexual law firm to shut down pro-family Catholic website. What can we say about Baker McKenzie and what's going on in this area?
Sure. So a good friend of mine who runs Info Vaticana, which is a small Catholic news portal based in Madrid, Spain, he received a letter last August, or actually, let's go back. He received a letter last May from the second largest law firm in the world, called Baker and McKenzie, and they were basically demanding that he retract his application for trademark, for the trademark of his name and the crossed keys of St. Peter. He had initially submitted a trademark application for his name and the emblem of the state of the Vatican, which is a no-no. It's like trying to trademark the American flag. You can't do that. But he figured, okay, well, instead of the emblem, I'll just do the crossed keys. And he had a set of generic crossed keys next to the name Info Vaticana, and he gets this letter saying, no, you can't do that. People are going to mistake your organization for an official Vatican organization. We want you to no longer use the crossed keys as a symbol of your organization. Well, he didn't really pay much attention to the letter. And so in August of last year, he got a follow-up letter that said, not only are we demanding that you no longer use the keys, because the argument was the keys are part of the emblem of the State of the Vatican, and so therefore it is a part of our official trademark, which is kind of like saying that, well, because the cross is part of the crucifix, you're not allowed to use the cross in any of your emblems. It's kind of ridiculous. Anyway, that was their argumentation.
So what's the agenda here, Michael? Is it essentially that they're going to phase out those who are following church teaching in this area of morality, sexuality? I mean, is this kind of the play? Is this the direction we're headed?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, they're going to do whatever they can to harass and to silence anyone who is going to point out the hypocrisy coming out of the Vatican. You know, they don't want the world to know about the fact that they're stacking the Pontifical Academy for Life with a bunch of pro-aborts. They don't want anybody to know that they've got a bunch of communists sitting on the Pontifical Academy for Social Sciences. They want everybody to think anything that comes out of the Vatican is sacrosanct, and that everything that comes out is an official document. You have to follow everything as if it's some part of the magisterium. But the fact of the matter is that there are voices who are calling BS on this and raising questions and saying, you know what, we don't really think that this is exactly the way things are, and some of the things that you're doing are kind of questionable.
Right. Now, the reason why I mention that is because Baker McKenzie, as Michael points out in his article on LepantoInstitute.org, is promoting homosexuality. Apparently, they also represented Planned Parenthood in a case, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. In 1991, they represented Planned Parenthood against a pro-life activist out in San Diego. But, you know, what happened at the end of the day, at the end of the last letter that was sent to Info Vaticana, the Vatican actually demanded that Info Vaticana hand over their domain name and no longer use the name or the word Vatican in their name, as if they had a trademark on the name Vatican, which is like the USA Today getting a letter from the U.S. government saying, you can't use USA in your name anymore. Give us your website. I mean,
yeah, okay. It's getting ridiculous to the point where I think we can all see where this is going. The New World Order essentially wants to push Christianity, as we understand it, out, you know, into left field, so to speak, paint us as, you know, the terrorists and the crazies and the nutters and the fundamentalists and the Pharisees or whatnot. And, folks, this is everything that the early church fathers warned about, at least from my perspective, what's been transpiring in Rome. And we've got to continue to pray the rosary, wear the scapular, and stay beneath the mantle of Mary. We know she's going to have her victory in the end. Now, your next article here, Michael, is a writer for Jesuit-run, quote-unquote, America magazine, is a blaspheming communist. And quite frankly, I had missed this one because usually I read your articles, and this one somehow went under my radar. But maybe we could talk a little bit more about Dean Detloff and what this guy is up to, and obviously trying to take the Catholic name and align it with leftist agendas and socialism and all this nonsensical stuff.
This one was, you know, sometimes you find a story and you look at it and you go, wow, this is really crazy. And then sometimes you get a story that's so over the top, you just kind of sit there and you stare blankly at the screen going, am I actually reading this, or is this a Dan Brown novel? This is one of those cases. Dean Detloff is he's the Toronto correspondent for America Magazine. And he's also a junior member of the Institute for Christian Studies, whatever that is. Anyway, Detloff created something called the Magnificast, which is an extremely blasphemous podcast. It's all about trying to merge Christianity with communist ideologies. And the cover of it, or their logo, has a blasphemous twist of the Miraculous Medal, where it shows Our Lady standing on top of a pile of weapons and a burning Nazi flag, and it says, O Mary conceived without white supremacy, pray for us trying to dismantle this on the cover. It's it's absolutely staggering to think that somebody who writes for a quote-unquote Catholic magazine, even though the Jesuits can be argued left the Catholic Church long ago.
Right.
It's staggering that he actually has a place on that magazine. But it's even worse than that. When you start going through his Twitter feed, he's a self-proclaimed communist, talks about how he's a communist and how he attends communist rallies. He's also a quote-unquote card-carrying member of Development and Peace, which is the Canadian Conference of Bishops version of Catholic Relief Services.
Yeah, I believe on this magazine as well, they also have a apparently some quote-unquote artwork for sale, and they have a picture of the Blessed Virgin Mary, I guess, in a condom.
Was a 2005 issue of American Magazine, and they apologized, saying, "Oh, we didn't realize that the latex veil was actually a condom."
Yeah, we believe that. Just about as much as we believe the Vatican these days and what's coming out.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's right there in his Twitter newsfeed. Again, Michael does a good job of supporting all the things that he states. And yeah, Dean has been on record as saying socialism is a good choice. We need a communist Voltaire. You know, I too long for a communist future. And we know the New World Order is going to get it for a short season. But ultimately, our Lady will have the victory. Now, what about the next article that you have worked on? We're talking now about the United States Bishop Conference lobbying Congress to fund an agency that actually funds Planned Parenthood. And I know the U.S. Bishop Conference has been on your radar for quite some time, and you've been doing a good job investigating and bringing forth to light some of the latest corruption going on there. What can we say about this piece?
This is actually quite infuriating. Catholic Relief Services and the USCCB signed a joint letter to all the members of Congress. It was directed to the director of the Office of Management and Budget. But the letter was then copied to all members of Congress asking for what they called robust funding for both PEPFAR and the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB, and Malaria. In the letter, They even acknowledge the fact that they know that PEPFAR and the Global Fund are engaged in activities which they say are, quote-unquote, inconsistent with Catholic teaching. But despite this, and they say, we support the life-saving missions of PEPFAR and the Global Fund and urge robust funding for both programs. This is in the same sentence where they acknowledge that PEPFAR and the Global Fund are doing things that they find inconsistent with Catholic teaching. Now, let's be clear about what this means. Inconsistent with Catholic teaching is PEPFAR is one of the leading government agencies in the world pushing condoms and contraception. They have a policy in place where they integrate contraceptive messaging with nearly everything that they do. They partner with USAID specifically to incorporate the spread of contraception other than condoms, because PEPFAR can't do contraception. It can only do condoms. So it partners with USAID so that they can have a separate supply line for contraception coming into their programs. The Global Fund to Fight AIDS actually gave money to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
It gave, gave $13 million to the Planned Parenthood affiliate Indonesia. It gave,
in 2000,
$6 million.
Yeah, 6.6 to Nigeria, you reported upon. That was from 2010 to 2015. But also in addition to that, you also note and point out Global Fund is promoting sexuality and transgenderism. You provide a picture for that in 2012, which is very obvious. Now, one of the things, that I point out, and many people who follow us, Apostle, know that I like to really break down and show forth, symbology that the New World Order will use and or secret societies. And one of the things I noticed with the Global Fund is that they're using a variation of the 666 symbology, which, you know, even Google will use. You'll see various other countries using. So that was the first thing I popped. I was like, okay, yeah, we know who's funding this particular group. And so, yeah, it doesn't surprise me to see this. And wow, again, that's what Michael does, is not only does a great job of pointing out and providing statements, but will back it up and provide pictures as well. Again, LepantoInstitute.org. Anything else you wanted to add to that particular article before we move on to the next one?
Yeah, so one of the things that I find eminently frustrating is that I've been in communication with the USCCB and CRS about this particular incident. And I would ask consistently, why are you asking the government to give money to two organizations that you know are spreading contraception? And the response that I get is, well, we can take that money, and we have the conscience clause written in for us so that we don't have to use that money in order to spread contraception. So we're exempt from that. And I said, that's not what I asked. What I asked was, why are you asking Congress to use my money on contraception-spreading organizations? And your response is how you use the money that you receive from them. I don't care about how you use the money. I really don't. What I care about is you telling Congress that you want to use my money for these two agencies. Hmm. They don't get it. They don't get it. They only think in terms of what they get out of it.
Yeah, that's just it. And, you know, I don't know what to say really outside of praying. I mean, we've got to continue to be proactive and call these individuals out. But they hear what we're saying, but it kind of just goes in one ear and out the other, I guess, sadly to say. But and then another area or another article that Michael teamed up with others in the traditionalist community, if you will, that really resonated loudly. My goodness, this one really sparked a lot of controversy and even made it into some mainstream media mm-hmm. news circles, was the one concerning Lilianne Ploumen and her receiving into the Order of St. Gregory by the Vatican in 2017. Problem is she's pro-abortion.
Yeah. You know, I was actually quite surprised at how quickly my story got picked up. It got picked up by the several international news agencies. And, you know, I broke the story on this, and I'd like to say that I was the one who originally found the information, but the fact of the matter is one of the people that works with me, he retweeted something that somebody posted on Twitter from the Netherlands, saying that this woman who was pro-abortion had gotten an award from Pope Francis. And I looked at that and I thought, well, what's the source on this? And so I looked at his source, and it was another – he was retweeting something as somebody else said. So it was just kind of a very tenuous Twitter connection, and I went, okay, I need to make sure that this is accurate before I let this stay on my Facebook page. And so I did a little bit of digging, and that's when I found the video where she's holding the award in her hand and talking about how she received it from Pope Francis. And the guy who's interviewing her says – and this, despite the fact that you're pro-abortion? She said, yep, despite the fact that I'm pro-abortion. She even went so far as to say that she thought that she got the award because of her support for abortion. Now, just to give you an idea as to how pro-abortion this woman is, she created what she called the She Decides Foundation, or the She Decides Global Movement. And this organization was set up specifically because Donald Trump reinstated the Mexico City policy. And so as a way to bypass that, she created She Decides to draw in international funds to redistribute that money to organizations that are pushing abortion that will not be getting that money from the federal government of the United States. And within 6 months, she had reached $300 million doing that, and she got an award from the Vatican.
Now, it seems like there was a petition involved with this. I know there were some other priests involved. I think you can find the main one, I believe, on ipetitions.com. What has transpired since then? Is there any update? I mean, obviously, I think you and I both agree that, you know, the quote-unquote award is not going to be rescinded, but I'm just wondering what kind of a following it's getting. I mean, obviously, it's such a big story.
Well, so I do know that we were able to force the Vatican to issue a statement on it. The Vatican resisted issuing a statement. They didn't want to say anything. In fact, several calls to the Vatican yielded a very strange silence from one of the most chattering communications offices in the world. But the net result was that they actually had to issue a statement. They said, well, this was an award that was given as part of a delegation, and she was not enrolled into the Order of St. Gregory the Great. Now, there are two things about that statement here. Number one, what they're saying is that, well, you know, we just decided to hand out these. We had these awards sitting on a shelf somewhere, and we decided to hand them out as trinkets for participating in this delegation. And number two, by not enrolling her in the Order of St. Gregory the Great, what they're saying is the Order of St. Gregory the Great is not some prestigious thing anymore. It's just something that we want to, you know, pass out as these little trinkets now. That's a great insult to everybody who has ever truly honored to have been enrolled in the Order of St. Gregory the Great for actually doing things in defense of the church.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems that they're just really sweeping it under the rug, so to speak. I mean, again, Michael, I really don't know what else to say outside of, we just got to continue to expose it. At least we can say that it's been exposed. You got them to make a response, per se, and that's better than, I guess, no response at all. I can tell you just from personal experience in trying to tweet some of these individuals or email them, I end up just getting blocked. I mean, I've been blocked by I can't even pronounce it. L'Observatore Romano, they've blocked me and some of these other priests, you know, Father Rosica and some of these other. Yeah. I mean, I've been blocked. They just don't want to hear it from us anymore, and it's becoming quite clear what direction they are heading in. So that's all we can do is really toot the horn. Now, what about an article entitled Catholic Relief Services Politicizes Advent? I think we can file this one under the immigration agenda of the New World Order.
Yeah. So Catholic Relief Services put together a website during Advent, and in this particular website, it was Advent and Christmas prayers from CRS, and you go through some of these prayers, and it immediately starts off this one prayer. It's Gracious Lord, Child of Bethlehem, which says, "Gracious Lord, Child of Bethlehem, as you were born a refugee to parents who first fled to Bethlehem and then to Egypt, help us to grow in solidarity with refugees everywhere." First of all, Jesus was not born as a refugee. To say so would be not only theologically incorrect, but also historically incorrect. He was born in Bethlehem because his parents were going to the census in Bethlehem. They weren't fleeing anything. But it's theologically wrong, too, because to say that Jesus was born a refugee in a theological sense would be to say that he was born into original sin. And you can't say that. We are born as refugees, or actually we are born as enemies of Christ. Right. And then through baptism, we become adopted sons and daughters. But it's just wrong all the way around. But, you know, they have so many other sites where they're sitting in a pages after pages of these prayers talking about Jesus being a refugee. And then they have all these prayers for the refugees. Now, why do you think that is? And the reason that they're doing all of this is that they get a ton of money from the government to resettle refugees. So if they were getting money from the government to, you know, save babies from abortion, then they probably would have programs instituted to pray and to go after Planned Parenthood. But because it's not lucrative, they don't do it.
Yeah, again, here it's just another angle for them to promote their agendas. And you point out and really summarize it very well in the end of this article is that CRS and its shameless self-promotion through the sacred is cheapening the mystery of the mystical union of divine nature with the human nature in the incarnate word. And I think that pretty much summarizes it in a nutshell. Again, a weakening of the faith. And just in general, too, a weakening of the discipline in the church. Maybe we'll talk about celibacy here in a little bit. But your last article here, and one that really kind of tickled my fancy was the fact that the CCHD actually offered you a grant and hoped that you would stop investigating other grantees, which I found quite interesting.
Well, yeah. So the reason that I posted this, Ralph McLeod had written a letter to somebody, I don't even remember who, but he, somebody had raised questions and concerns about CCHD, and so McLeod's response had something to do with me and meeting with the CCHD staff. He said in his email, in years past, CCHD staff met with Mr. Hitchborn of the Lepanto Institute with no positive results. Additionally, the CCHD subcommittee asked that we not meet with him since there seems to be no amicable resolution. At that point, I figured it was finally time to kind of break the news about what those meetings were actually about and how they truly went. And the fact of the matter is that in 2011, when I met with McLeod and John Carr, I told them about all the problems that I was finding. I told them about the various organizations that I had found that were promoting abortion, contraception, homosexuality, and Marxism. That was in one of the previous meetings. In a subsequent meeting, before I even got to speak, before I got to say anything at all, I walk into the meeting and John Carr starts talking. And he's saying, you know, I think that we have more common ground than we really think that we have. And you know, he starts going on and on about how he really liked to shift direction from chasing down these reports that we're writing, but working with us to go after the abortionists and the pro-abortion crowd. He said, that would be great. I think that we should do something like that. And he even went so far to say, if you were to set up an organization that organized poor people in order to trace down these pro-abortion organizations, we would fund that. And he indicated that they could even change the rules on what they called the poverty line so that they could make it more lucrative for us to do so. So it was a little carrot that he was dangling in front of us so as not to continue conducting these investigations. Well, you know, I flat rejected him and he was furious.
Right.
But I don't know what else there is to say about it other than the fact that the CCHD must have been feeling an awful lot of heat from what we were finding and just was looking for some other way to put a stop to it and decided, hey, you know, maybe they would come on board if we offered them money.
Apparently not smart enough to figure out that you might actually publish that too as well.
Right.
Now, folks, listen, it's going to get even more bizarre. If you think what's been happening in the Vatican and just various dioceses, you know, here in the West, it's only going to get worse. I warned about a week ago when I had Hugh Owen on from the St. Colby Center that ultimately the New Age and the New World Order will start attacking the doctrine of original sin. You're going to start seeing that coming out of the Vatican very soon. I don't know if it'll be this year, might be over the next few years, but you got to prepare yourself for it, and you got to keep in mind that, you know, this doesn't mean an end to the church and that, you know, Christ has abandoned us and the gates of hell prevailed and all of these other modernist arguments that I hear. That's not the case at all. It must happen. It's in scripture. It's in tradition. It's in various approved Catholic prophecy. But we win in the end. We got to keep our eyes locked in on that rainbow as we're passing through this storm. Now, I wanted to get your final commentary before I allow you some parting words, and you can do a little shameless self-promotion yourself, Michael. I wanted to get your kind of outtake on what we may see over this next year. There's been some reports of Father Cristofaro suggesting there might be some type of formal declaration that the faithful would have to make to Francis and his magisterium. There might be a new ecumenical Protestant / quote-unquote Catholic rite coming. We, of course, have on our radar same-sex civil unions, contraception, celibacy, women priests. I mean, how bad do you think this is going to get?
You know, one of the most persistent rumors that I keep hearing coming out of Rome is that Pope Francis is going to resign before the end of the year. I think that if that happens, it's going to happen right around the time that he calls a consistory, and it's going to affect the election of his successor. And, you know, what this is going to do is cause a great deal, it's already confusing as it is. It's probably going to cause even deeper confusion, because if there is a fracture between the election of Pope Francis and the abdication of Pope Benedict, I mean, we have two bishops dressed in white, we have two bishops wearing the fisherman's ring, we have two bishops being referred to as Your Holiness. If there is a fracture in between those two events, and you have an abdication of Pope Francis leading to the election of a third living pope, the last time that we had a situation like that, it was called the Great Western Schism. And I think that that would probably be the worst thing that could possibly happen. And I do highly suspect that that's what we see coming down the pipe.
Yeah, that's very well said. I'm glad you mentioned that. As you know, people who follow this apostolate, I do hold Benedict XVI as the true pope. I try not to make it a point of contention for those who think Francis is the true pope. I just try to point out, and I was actually the first to come out and say this long before Sochi, long before Cardinal Pell, even my former spiritual director, Father Kramer, and I said the trend would be that more and more people would see B16 as the pope. And what's interesting to note is I've been contacted by Vatican II priests who say they would no way ever sign some type of you know, legal document saying they're following Francis' magisterium. And, you know, that's what's kind of interesting. It is. I mean, we're fractured on all fronts across a lot of different topics, obviously that being one of it. And goodness, if Francis did step aside, I've been warning about a potential character coming out of the New Age itself who I deem would be the biblical false prophet who may show up here very soon. I'm going to do another article on him today. So it's very possible that we get this character who arrives onto the scene who's not even going to want to call himself a pope, yet he'll be slated to be over the quote-unquote Christian churches. We'll have to see how it plays out. Appreciate your time, Michael, for coming on the show. Any parting words, or if you want to discuss maybe some of your upcoming articles, projects, talk a little bit more about your website, and then I'll sign us off.
Sure. I don't have anything that I can actively talk about with regard to my current investigations. I like to keep those close to the chest until I'm ready to publish, just so that I don't tip anybody off. But I do have about four or five different projects that I'm working on in order to expose some of the things that are going on within the church. That said, I am excited to announce that I have entered into a contractual relationship with Church Militant. So now I'm working with Church Militant on a few investigations and some script writing and a few things that are going on. So that's something that's very exciting for us. And I think that the collaboration is going to help us to elevate the issue so that we can spread the word in a broader sense. So, but you know, people should sign up for my newsletter, and they can do so at lepantoinstitute.org. Sign up for the newsletter every Tuesday morning. I'm on the radio with Mike Church over at the Veritas Radio News Radio Network on his Crusade channel, and you can listen to me there too.
Okay, well said, and we appreciate you, Michael, coming on today to Tradcat Night Radio. Folks, check into tradcatnight.blogspot.com daily. It's updated daily, keeping you up to date on what's happening as it relates to the corruption in the church, the apostasy in the church, and of course, just various end-time events that I try to cover, as you know. If you can, in this information war, get behind this apostolate, click the PayPal button, and please support this apostolate, not only in prayers, but if you can, financially. I've got another great guest to round out the week tomorrow. And again, please keep linked up to Tradcat Night for further updates about this live call-in radio show that we're going to be doing, and it'll be broadcast worldwide, and we'll be able to take your live calls and answer them. I'll have special guests coming on, and everyone's really excited about it, so look for that the second week of April. And so, my good friends, until tomorrow, stay safe, God bless, keep your wings spread as an eagle, in faith and hope. Ave Maria.